Welcome into the show, everybody. Thank you so much for being here with us on this Tuesday edition of Fantasy MLB Today, which is brought to you by Sports Ethos. My name is Joe Orrico, and I am your host. You guys already know me. You can find me on Twitter at JoeOrrico99. That's JoeOrrico99. Hit the follow button there. You get links to the shows when they go out. You also get other threads, other thoughts, retweets, things like that throughout the day. So go ahead, show some support on Twitter, and also show some support on the podcast page, whatever it is you use, whether it be Google, Spotify, Apple, whatever. Leaving a 5-star review, preferably a 5-star review, would really help us move up in search results, things like that. So go ahead and do that. Now, one thing I will say before we really get going here is I might be sounding a little bit different to you guys. That's because I've got a new microphone set up that I'll be using going forward. Still waiting on a couple of different pieces in the mail. Hopefully we get them today. One of them is supposed to be help with reducing echo. So if there is a touch of echo on the show today, I do apologize. I'll try in the editing process to clean it up as much as possible. But you longtime viewers know that I am not much in the way of technology, so I'll do my best. But if there is a bit of echo, I do apologize. We should have that cleaned up for you guys going forward here. We're going to be looking at, well, first of all, we have an 18-game slate today in Major League Baseball. There are three doubleheaders. So the White Sox and the Royals, we have the Mets and the Cardinals, and then the other one is the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers. So a total of 18 Major League games will be taking place today. It's a little overwhelming. Certainly, if you're setting your lineups, you're going to have a lot of decisions to make. In terms of the position players, you're mostly going to be trying to put in those guys who do have the doubleheaders. It goes pretty much without saying that that'll be the case. A guy has two games in one day, you're going to more than often than not put him in for the guy who has one game. Now, unless we're talking, I don't know, the worst player on your team, maybe a guy has two games versus Mike Trout has one game or something, then okay, then I understand where you're coming from putting in Mike Trout there. But for the most part, you're going to be looking at those two start guys, and they're going to be the ones who are going into your lineups today. There will be a mix of some guys who don't have any doubleheaders, but I've been looking at my teams, and maybe it's just the shares of the players I have, but there are a lot of guys who have the doubleheaders today, so it's going to be a big day for at-bats, hopefully a big day for counting stats for me and hopefully for you guys as well. Now, we'll start the show off the way we typically have. I know yesterday was a little bit different. We had a guest on, so and a big thank you to Bubba for coming on the show there. We are going to be looking at some of the bigger performances from yesterday in Major League Baseball before we really look at today. And I think the biggest one from yesterday, certainly on the pitching side, was Freddy Peralta. He went 7 strong, striking out 10, only giving up 1 walk and 2 hits. He got the W here, 102 pitches in a 1-0 victory. And I think it's pretty safe to say that the Freddy Peralta of old is back. This was his biggest performance of the season in terms of fantasy points and in terms of strikeouts, and it was also his deepest outing. And across the board, it was really a fantastic game for him against a very tough Atlanta team. So if you had any worries about Freddy Peralta, they've probably been quashed now. If there was a manager in your league who was maybe a little hesitant on him going forward, they're probably not anymore. He's really settled down now. So any kind of buy low window on him is more than likely shut. Kurt Casale, the catcher for the San Francisco Giants, hit a couple of home runs last night. It's not really going to be too interesting on the fantasy side. He's a platoon guy with Joey Bart. They switch around a little bit. This was definitely a massive game, and if you had him in a DFS lineup or if you had him on your team for yesterday, then you're probably looking very successful. But he's not someone who's really going to be too interesting going forward. Here's somebody I missed on a little bit yesterday, Wade Miley. I didn't think we would see this kind of performance from him. I don't know that many people did. He went 7 innings, only giving up 1 hit and striking out 6 against the Pirates. One of his best performances I've seen in a while from Wade Miley. Certainly his best outing of the year after his debut against San Diego was not so great. This was a fantastic start from him. Don't get me wrong, but it was also a really advantageous matchup. So I'm not really going to be too interested in using an ad on him here outside of really deeper formats. If you're in a standard 10 or 12 team league, that spot would be much better used for streaming. So I'm going to not be too interested in Miley there, but a really great game for him there. 36 fantasy points on Yahoo. He did a great job. Luis Severino also had a really good game, going 6 strong, striking out 7, only giving up 1 earned run, 2 walks and 1 hit, while also hitting a batter. 95 pitches over 6 innings and an overall really solid performance against, it was a lowly team he was facing, the Orioles. But again, his best fantasy performance of the season to this point. Now, here's somebody who I talked about on Twitter a little bit, and that is Yusei Kikuchi. I was looking for him to have a good start here, and he had probably his best outing of the season, arguably his best outing of the season, but I think it's pretty safe to say that it was. He went six innings getting the victory, only the second victory of the year, giving up one hit, walking three, and striking out six. Just shy of his season high of 91 pitches, he got to 90 pitches here. And Yusei Kikuchi is a really strong ad going forward. I'm hesitant to say this, but hopefully he's the Robbie Ray of this year. I think I've actually said it on the show before that there's a chance that he could be the Robbie Ray of this year in terms of the left-hand. I think I said it yesterday, actually. The left-handed pitcher who is an all-star previously, and Ray was a few years ago. Kikuchi was just last year. But to bring in a guy who has not been recently at the top of their game, you give them the Pete Walker special, and then they turn into a really serviceable fantasy option, real-life option as well, but fantasy option here. We are really excited. I mean, as a Toronto fan, really excited, but fantasy managers in general, Kikuchi is someone who's on waivers in a lot of leagues, and he's pretty much a free pickup. So if he is available, I would go ahead and make that ad because he's going to keep getting better and better. I also talked about this on Twitter yesterday. The strength of schedule that Kikuchi has faced has been one of the toughest to this point, a bunch of Yankee starts and Astros starts. So it's good to see him face a bit of lower competition and also pitch the way you would expect him to under that circumstance. So a really good job there for Kikuchi. Tony Gonsolin also had a really good night, going six strong, striking out seven, giving up two earned runs and three hits. Again, another guy who should be rostered. He should absolutely be rostered. I said it yesterday. Regardless of format, really, I mean, maybe in an eight-team league you don't roster him, but Tony Gonsolin is pretty much a must-roster player as far as I see it here. In terms of the pitchers, those were the major big performances. A lot of home runs hit last night, and I'm starting to think maybe there has been something with the ball that they were doing, or maybe they stopped doing whatever they were doing before. I'm really not too sure, but we did see a lot of home runs. I already talked about the Kurt Cazale hit a couple of home runs. Anthony Santander hit a couple. We also had Wilson Contreras, Bo Bichette, Chris Taylor, Josh Donaldson, Chas McCormick, Xander Bogaerts, Trevor Story, Trevino, Luis Robert, Gary Sanchez. I could keep going on, but I think you guys get the point. There were a lot of big flies hit yesterday. Seems to be maybe a sign that things are changing. It's maybe a little too early to tell right now, but I'm positive for sure. And Bubba was talking about it on the show yesterday. Fans are going to be kind of annoyed if we don't start to see more offense pretty soon. So if they have made a change to the balls already, then that would be really fantastic. Make it a little bit more interesting going forward. I mean, I've said this on the show before. I was a pitcher in a previous life, so I don't mind a pitching duel. I don't mind, you know, a ball game where there's a total of five or six hits and it's 1-0, 2-0, 2-1. I don't mind those games. But for the general fan, I understand, especially for kids, you want to see some offense. Some home runs hit. So hopefully this is the start of a trend that we'll see going forward of more home runs. Now, there is a trade-off, obviously. You see more home runs and more hard hit balls. You see worse stats out of your pitchers. But hopefully there's a happy medium there where everybody can be happy. Let's take a look at today's games. And like I said, we have a ton of games here. So let's buckle in. We'll take you through chronologically here as we typically do, and we'll start with the 2-10 game between the White Sox and the Royals. This will be the first game of their doubleheader. And the problem with doubleheaders is sometimes you don't get the starter of the second game announced until closer to the start time. So we have a couple of games here with unconfirmed starting pitchers at the time of recording this. So forgive me if there is somebody who you guys, by the time you listen to this, has been announced, but I don't touch on them. Sometimes it's just a timing thing for when I record. Sometimes not all the information is out there at the time. So let's get into it here. The White Sox and the Royals. Dylan Cease and John Heasley will be the starters here. Heasley is, I wouldn't say a great option here. The way that the White Sox have been hitting the ball, I would probably expect him to go in more of an opener kind of role. Maybe he'll go three or four innings, but I don't expect a deep outing from him here. So he's going to be a pass for me. Dylan Cease, I am going to be totally fine with using him here. He is someone who has been, weird start last time, and he does give up the odd long ball. Not too many, but more so than long balls, there are times when he's prone to giving up a lot of hard hit contact one after the other. So we saw that last time against the Yankees. He gave up 6 earned runs, but he did strike out 11. He does have elite stuff, and this is a good matchup for him here against the Royals. So I'm not too worried. If it wasn't for that one bad start, his ERA would be somewhere in the mid-2s. Because of the bad start, you see it now in the mid-3s, and it gives you maybe a different perspective on him than you would have. A lot of people look at ERA. Growing up, that's all I really looked at was the pitcher's ERA and their wins, which are probably the two most meaningless stats you can look at. But then again, there are two categories in fantasy, and they're two of the major things that we do look at in terms of Cy Young voting and in terms of evaluating players. So if you're looking just at the ERA for Dylan Cease, it's a little deceptive. He's a lot better than that 3.55 suggests, and I got no problem here against the Royals to deploy him. In the second half of their doubleheader, we got Brady Singer announced for the Royals, but no one for the White Sox yet. I'm not going to be interested in Brady Singer. He is not someone with a great track record, and again, tough White Sox team. I'm going to be taking a pass on him here. So we have the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers next, and we have Tyler Gilbert starting for the Diamondbacks. He's really not going to be a recommended play today, just being called up here for the start, acting as the 27th man for the doubleheader. So he will not likely go deep into this game, I wouldn't imagine. The Dodgers tend to do that to pitchers. So overall here, I'm going to be passing. On the Dodgers pitching side, they've kept their cards close to the vest here. In terms of the starting pitcher, I don't really know why, but I don't think we have a confirmed starter for the first game. I think it might be Ryan Pepiot. I'm actually not 100% sure. The guy who was called up a couple of weeks ago to make a spot start there. I think it might be him, but we haven't had an official confirmation yet from the Dodgers. So at this point, it's really anybody's guess. In the second game of their doubleheader, I think we have a bit more clarity. I think it'll be, Merrill Kelly and Tyler Anderson will be the starters in the second game. Yeah, that's confirmed. It's kind of weird to have the starters in the second game confirmed before the first game, especially when there's like a 7-hour difference here. Both of these guys have done pretty well to this point in the season. Tyler Anderson's ERA looks a lot worse than it did before. His last time out, he got roughed up by the Phillies. He gave up 7 earned in 6 innings, not 5, 6 innings. But he's honestly a pretty good option here today, and we talked about him yesterday as being a two-start, the potential for two starts on the week. Now, not going to guarantee you guys that it'll be two starts because things do change, games get rained out, shit happens, right? So it's not a guarantee that you're going to get two starts out of him there, but overall for here, for a stream against Arizona, I feel pretty good about Tyler Anderson. I think he's a good option. Arizona's lineup, we already know what Arizona's lineup is. They're not too impressive. Their pitching staff has been fairly impressive, and that's where we'll switch over here to Merrill Kelly, and that's where there's a bit of a dilemma here. I mean, overall, I'm probably not going to be starting him in a lot of cases. Earlier in the week, I've gone at length about this. You set the tone for what your week is going to be, whether it's going to be successful or not, really, depending on your matchups. Early in the week, this kind of matchup is one that you'd like to stay away from despite the success of Kelly. So, I mean, he's been fantastic. He's been one of the better stories in baseball. I picked him up a ton in the first couple weeks of the season, pretty much everywhere I could because I believe in him. I think he's going to be a very successful pitcher going forward. Here is probably not the greatest place to be proven that on the road against the Dodgers. I'm going to be mostly passing on him here. There might be a league or two where I put him in there, maybe in a points league. I feel less risk in a points league than in a category league to put him out there. But as a whole, I'm going to be saying you could stay away from him and probably be all right with that tonight. There's a chance he has a really good outing, but the risk is real high. So overall, I'm going to be saying it's probably a pass from me. Let's look at the last set of doubleheaders. We have the Cardinals and the Mets. And this is the same pitching matchup we discussed yesterday, Miles Mikolas and Trevor Williams. And the advice will be pretty much the same. Williams, no, you can't really use him in good faith against that Cardinals team. They got a really, really solid lineup out there. Williams is very hit or miss. Using an ad early in the week doesn't make much sense to me there. On the other side, Mikolas is someone who has overperformed quite simply to this point of the year. I think he's doing better at this point than he probably is going to do the rest of the season. This is probably the high watermark for him, so I am going to be all right with starting him, but at the same time, he's due for some regression. He's really due to start given back a little bit in terms of the earned runs. So he has not given up more than two earned runs in any start this season. It's a tough matchup with the Mets here on the road. So I'm a little bit torn on whether or not to start him. I'm going to say as a whole, it's probably better to not, but I also understand sending him out there with how well he's done to this point. I'm personally probably not going to be starting him in the leagues where I have him, but early in the week, I do understand you guys going either way on that one. And the second game of their doubleheader, I think we just have Taijuan Walker confirmed and then nobody yet for the Cardinals. Walker is an interesting play here. We talked about him a little bit yesterday. On the whole, I'm probably going to be staying away from him. He had a really good outing his last time out against Washington, but tougher team he's facing today. I'm not going to be so interested here against the Cards. As for the Cardinals starter, we don't have an announcement there yet, so nothing to be done at this point about that one. Let's look at the rest of the schedule here. We have the Reds. It's going into Cleveland to take on the Guardians. Battle of Ohio here. Connor Overton and Zach Plesac will be your pitching matchup. Neither one of them really interests me too much. Overton has had success to this point in the season, yes, but he's also had success against mostly the Pirates, and he had the one good start against Colorado at Coors, which is a little bit of a surprise, sure, but last couple of games have been against the fairly lowly Pirates. He's a low strikeout guy, and a win is very much a wild card in terms of Cincinnati, so streaming him, for me, doesn't make too much sense today, and pretty much that applies most of the time. As well as he's done to this point in the year with the ratio numbers, his team's not going to win a hell of a lot of games, so for the most part, he's not going to be worth a stream. Zach Plesac on the other side is a little bit more interesting to me, but he's pretty much 3-4 earned runs guaranteed every time he hits the bump. Against Cincinnati, it might be a bit better, but Cincinnati recently, I hesitate to even say this, but they've turned it around a little bit. Definitely by no means been good, but you know they beat up on the Brewers. They won their series, or they split their series with the Pirates. So a little bit more hope for them. Yes, I know the no-hitter was brutal. Definitely brutal. But it happens. Shit happens. Especially when you're a team like that, you're going to get unlucky, which is kind of why I think, for the most part, you should stay away from a stream there. Why don't we move on to the next game? It's the Tigers and the Rays. We have Bo Brisk taking on Shane McClanahan. And Brisk has been not a bad option to this point in the season. you know, pretty consistent these last few times out. And he's had some tough opponents mixed with some subpar ones. He's done well against Houston and the Dodgers. Also against Oakland, Colorado, he was all right. So he's a little bit of an interesting play to me here. But again, early in the week, I'm trying to be very conservative with my ads at this point. Now, there are leagues where you guys might have 10 or 15 or unlimited ads, and you just want to stream for strikeouts and build up your counting stats, by all means, go ahead if that's your strategy, if that's the way your league is set up. Most leagues, you're dealing with a set number of ads, usually between 4 and 6 for the week. So, Brisk is not someone I'm going to be interested in adding here. Shane McClanahan on the other side very much interests me. One of my favorite pitchers in baseball, even heading into the season. Actually, going back to last season, I really like Shane McClanahan. I've talked about how I really just like the way he pitches. I like watching him pitch. This is a really good matchup here against the Tigers. I got no problem thinking he can go 7 innings and get double-digit strikeouts here. And I know I might be pushing it a little bit, but I think that that's definitely in the cards for him. That's in the cards for him every time he hits the bump. But against a bit of a lowlier offense in the Tigers, I got no problem thinking that he can put up 7 innings, 10 strikeouts. So I was asked a little bit on Twitter if we'd have the Marlins call up one of their top pitching prospects, whether it be Edward Cabrera or Max Meyer. It won't be either of them today. We've had Cody Poteet listed as the scheduled starter for tonight, who's also been pretty serviceable to this point on the year, working out of the pen mostly. He's an interesting spot play starter here. I mean, I always talk about how you need to be conservative with your ads. I don't think you're going to get burned too badly here. You'll get the spot start from him here, and then maybe later in the week you'll get some kind of relief appearance as well, depending on how their week goes. When you're facing the Nationals, it warrants taking a quick look anyway because of their lineup. Their lineup just is not good. It's really not good. Again, we were talking about this yesterday on the show. It's Juan Soto, it's Josh Bell, and then it's a bunch of role players and minor, borderline, like minor league kind of guys, a lot of them. Not trying to be disrespectful to those guys, but it's a good opportunity to stream against them a lot of the time. Now, Poteet probably isn't going to go too deep into this one, but if you mix that in with a probable relief appearance later on in the week, I'm not terribly opposed to using an ad on him here. I think it's all right. On the other side, Joanna Doan, he's in that Vladimir Gutierrez section of streamers, pitchers, where it's like the don't you dare ever stream these guys. There's just no upside. There's too much risk associated with it. Very high walk rate mixed with a fairly low strikeout rate. Lots and lots of runs given up on the year. So no for Adone. And Poteet, I'd say, is a little more interesting. But you have to also understand he might go four innings, and then that might be it for the week. Probably not, but there is a chance of that. So it's not without its risk to stream him in there. San Diego and Philadelphia, we have Mike Clevinger pitching for the Padres, and it's a weird day for pitchers being announced. I don't think the Phillies have announced a starter for today yet. At the time I'm recording this, not that I've seen, maybe I'll take a quick look on Twitter, and I'm not really seeing anything here. I think we're probably going to have more of a bullpen day out of them. I don't know. It'd be nice if they could let us know. It's not till tonight, so maybe they're still figuring some stuff out internally, but as of right now, there is no announced starter for the Phillies. Mike Clevinger, historically, he's a bit better than this, but I said it on the show yesterday. I'd rather see that, and I'm sure a lot of people disagree with me on this, but I'd rather see Mackenzie Gore stay in the starting rotation and then move Clevinger into a longer relief role. And if it's not Clevinger, then maybe Yu Darvish. Like, just, you know, somebody, I don't really agree with Mackenzie Gore going to the pen. And I'm sure that my, like, 40-something percent shares of him also don't agree with him going to the pen. But he's definitely not been the worst option in that rotation. I know I'm going off on a bit of a tangent here, but allow me for a second. With you have that many pitching options, why would you take away your young stud and take away his main, not his main ability, but what he's comfortable at, and stick him in the pen to maybe, you know, an inning here, an inning there, a couple innings there? You can screw up a pitcher like that. You really can. I've seen it in Toronto with Nate Pearson. That's not the same exact story that happened, but, and we know how to develop pitching in Toronto pretty well. I mean, we're not the best at it. We're not the Giants at it. We're not like the Guardians with it, but we know how to develop pitching, and that one we just made a mistake on. It can happen. You take a guy who's a starter, who's already having success, and you're going to mix up his situation, put him in the pen. You could really just mentally screw with a guy by doing that. Now, you don't want to take Yu Darvish and his bigger contract and put him in the pen. I kind of understand it. But at the same time, are we running popularity contests, or are we running baseball teams here? And not so much just popularity contests, but in terms of, like, there's no merit. There's no merit in terms of Darvish going ahead of Gore. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it this last day or so. And I know if I didn't have as many shares of Gore, I wouldn't really care about this as much. It just doesn't make sense to me. You guys let me know what you think. Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know if I'm wrong, or if you're any San Diego Padres fans listening have more insight than I do. Because, of course, there's 30 teams. You can't cover every single bit of detail that comes out with every team. Maybe there's something that you Padres guys know a bit more about. I don't know. All I know is that I would rather see a Clevinger or a Darvish coming out of the pen than Mackenzie Gore. And maybe I'm an idiot, maybe I'm crazy for that, but that's just how I see it. Clevinger tonight against the Phillies on the road, probably not going to go very well. And, you know, maybe I'm being unfair to Clevinger, honestly, thinking about it. I mean, Darvish, no, I'm not being unfair to Darvish because he's declining. We saw the other night, I think it was Sunday night, that he's on a downhill slide. And in the leagues where I drafted you, Darvish, I'm feeling not too great about using the picks that I did on him around pick 100, a little bit after pick 100. So am I being unfair to Darvish? No. To Clevinger, maybe a little bit. But I just don't think he's that great of a pitcher. He was had a couple of good seasons, 2018, 2019. He hasn't really pitched these last couple of seasons. He's now 31, which is not old, but, you know, the last time he was really successful, he was like 28, 29. So I'm fine with Clevinger as an option, but I'm not in love with the guy. Let's put it that way. I think he's probably not a great option here against the Phillies tonight. He's very highly rostered, so he's not really a streaming guy. But I'm not a big fan of him in general, really. I think he's fine. But here tonight, I'm not really going to be too interested. Sorry, I took a lot longer with that than I wanted to. Every now and then, there's just something that gets in my head and something that kind of pisses me off, and I want to address it. So that was me addressing it. Let's move on to the next game. We have the Yankees and the Orioles here. Jameson Taillon and Spencer Watkins will be your starting pitching matchup. The Yankees have yet to lose 10 games yet this season. They're 26-9. They are rolling. They are a serious team. Jameson Taillon, as of right now, I'd say, yeah, he's a very good streaming option. Now, he is prone to some bad starts in the past. He hasn't really shown that this year. This year, he's been pretty consistent. Like the whole Yankees pitching staff, they've been pretty damn consistent all year. He is prone to the odd bad start here and there, so I'd maybe be a little bit worried that he's due because, I don't know, historically he's pretty good, but he's never really had a long, long stretch of success, which he's kind of done to this point early in the year. So I'm a little cautious with Taillon. Overall, I wouldn't necessarily advocate. He should be fine. He should be fine to use here. But there's also a red alert going off in my head that he's due for a bit of a stinker. So keep that in mind if you like. If not, I understand. But the matchup with the Orioles will definitely entice a lot of people. For me, I'm just a little worried that he's due for some regression here. On the other side, Spencer Watkins, he's not someone I'm interested in tonight. Pretty much goes without saying. You can't stream guy against the Yankees, especially the way they've been going right now. So we'll pass on him. And we will move on to the next game. The Astros and the Red Sox, Jose Urquidy and Nate Eovaldi, should be a good pitching matchup. Both of them come with risk, but both of them also should have a pretty decent outing. Eovaldi has obviously been more impressive than Urquidy this year, and even go back to last year, Eovaldi's been pretty impressive with the strikeouts and the velocity. It's a real tough matchup here against Houston, so I'm going to be starting him. But at the same time, I understand if you don't want to start him here based on risk of a blowout. And I don't think it'll be that way, but Houston has really been on a hot streak recently. They lost yesterday, so maybe look for them to bounce back here today. That's not scientific. It's just more looking at baseball trends and how they tend to go. A hot team like that, when they lose one against a team who's struggling, they tend to bounce back the next day. So a little bit of risk there, but overall, I'm pretty confident starting him. Jose Urquidy on the other side is a little bit more of a risk. Yes, he's facing a worse lineup, but yes, he is significantly less impressive than Eovaldi here. He's been pretty okay to this point in the season, and he's had a couple of good starts in a row against Minnesota and Detroit. Overall here, I think he's fine, but I don't think he's a must-play by any means. I think both of these guys, there's a lot of risk associated with them. Eovaldi's the better pitcher, but he's going up against a better lineup. Urquidy is definitely the lesser pitcher, but facing the lesser lineup. So, yes, there is risk and reward with both of these guys. At the end of the day, I'll leave it up to you, but I think both of them probably are okay to use here. Brewers and the Braves is the next game. Tucker Davidson will be getting the start for Atlanta, and this is probably not going to be a great spot to use him in. He's only pitched, I believe, the one time this year in long relief, and he threw 2 2/3, gave up 5 earned runs, walked a couple. Tough outing here, or tough outing there, and it'll be a tough matchup here against a tough, I've been saying tough quite a lot there, haven't I? Let's find a different word. He's got a difficult matchup here against the Brewers on the road, so I'm going to be more than likely staying away from him here. Not more than likely, I will be staying away from him here. It's too risky for me anyway to use an ad on him against the Brewers. Adrian Hauser on the other side, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And then once he fools you the third time, I don't know where you go from there. Two straight bad starts against the Reds has left people dropping him. And it's completely understandable to drop him. After those last couple starts, yes. I don't have any problem with it. And now he's facing a pretty tough Braves team. I mean, they probably haven't performed to the standard that a lot of people expected them. But they're still a tough team, still a really tough lineup that can pop off at any given moment. I don't think that I can really go out there in good faith and recommend Hauser after these last couple of outings against Cincinnati, both on the road and at home. And it sucks because going into those starts, he was looking fantastic. And you're thinking, the Brewers have five legit options in their rotation? Like, you're thinking, like, what kind of rotation do they have here? But maybe it's coming back down to earth a little bit here when you see these last couple starts against Cincy. So I'm all right with leaving him on waiver wires or benches tonight. Either way, he's not really a recommended play. He's got to earn his way back into the good books before we start recommending him here again. Let's move on. We have the Pirates and the Cubs. We have JT Brubaker and Keegan Thompson. Neither of these guys I'm going to be too interested in. Yeah, Keegan Thompson has been interesting, but he's not been going deep into ball games. He usually goes about four innings. That's the deepest he's gone to this point in the season, so again, it's not really worth using an add-on. I'm sure he'll do fine, but to use an add at this point of the week doesn't really make too much sense to me there. On the other side, JT Brubaker, he has disappointed me quite a bit on the season. He's had a couple of all right starts, but as a whole, he doesn't go very deep into ball games. He's up and down with the strikeouts. He can strike out a lot of guys, but he doesn't always, and the walks are definitely an issue still. So overall, we're going to be staying away from this pitching matchup here. Let someone else deal with the headache of these two guys tonight. Angels and the Rangers is the next game. We have Reed Detmers taking the mound for the first time since his no-no last week. We'll see what we get out of him. I talked about it at the time. When there's a no-hitter, it kind of leads you to believe, oh, well, this guy's fantastic. You know, he's great. He's going to be a massive pickup, blah, blah, blah. And if you just look at the guys who throw no-hitters in perfect games throughout history, that's not always the case. Detmers is a rookie. He's 22 years old. And, you know, he had a great start. There's no denying he had a fantastic start. Being able to repeat that going forward, I'm not certain he'll be able to do it. So it's a pretty good matchup here, and I understand people are going to want to stream him. People are going to stream him. I just advise caution because not every outing is going to be like last time. And that'll be his best outing of the year, almost certainly. It kind of sounds stupid to say it out loud, but you're going to be chasing that no-hitter the rest of the year with your ads. So it's not going to happen again. If it does happen again, that'd be fantastic. But it's not going to happen again. You're going to see some regression. So despite the good matchup here, I'm all right picking him up here, but not a recommended play. I think he's definitely due for some negative regression here. Taylor Hearn on the other side, not really a play as well. He did surprise last time out against Kansas City, going five strong, giving up just the one hit and striking out five. He's not going to be a play because of how good the Angels lineup has been doing. It's just not safe enough, regardless of what time of the week it is, really. But using an ad on him at this stage does not make any sense to me. So we're going to be staying away from this game for the most part. But I would also understand if you guys picked up Detmers. That would make sense to me. It would make sense. I'm not really doing it, but it would make sense. Let's move on. Pretty good pitching matchup here. Giants and Rockies. We have Alex Cobb and Chad Kuhl. You know, it's hard to say exactly with Alex Cobb what we're going to be getting. We've seen the good and the bad. That Washington start and the Mets one before it earlier were definitely concerning. But he's had a couple of good starts in a row against St. Louis and against Colorado. So he was at home against Colorado. Now he gets them at Coors Field. It's a little bit riskier. On the whole, I'm pretty all right with starting him. Chad Kuhl on the other side has actually been pretty good consistently this year, despite the one bad start. So before that, he had the bad start against San Francisco on May 11th. Before that, he had not given up more than three earned runs in any outing. I think that it's kind of risky here at... Yes, it's his home park, but it is the worst home park for pitchers in baseball. He's facing a pretty tough Giants team. They're not a great team offensively, but they're all right offensively. I mean, a lot of their strength comes from their pitching staff, I'd say. But overall, I think both of these guys, they both come with a good amount of risk, no question. But I think at the same time, an ad would make sense, specifically with Cobb. Cool, I like, but I don't think he's going to be as good as Cobb the rest of the season. So I'd prefer Cobb here and going forward. Let's move on to our last game of the evening. We have the Twins and the Athletics. Dylan Bundy and James Caprellian. Neither one of these guys has earned the trust, really. Caprellian I thought he was an all right streaming option last week against Detroit, and he was fine. He went 5 innings, 3 hits, 2 earned runs. Only the 1 strikeout, which kind of disappointed me. But what are you going to do, right? He was fine. I sent him back to the waiver wires, and I'm not really too interested in picking him up here against a pretty tough Twins team. So I'm not going to be interested there. On the other side, Dylan Bundy, the true colors were showed these last couple of times out, 15 earned runs in his last 2 starts, including the 9 earned run stinker, one of the stinkers of the year potentially against Baltimore. A couple of home runs, a couple of walks, 11 hits. Maybe not one of the stinkers of the year, but definitely up there. His ERA from April 3rd to May 4th, it went from 0.59 to 5.76. Classic Dylan Bundy. Shout out Scott Bogman, who completely called this. I mean, a lot of people did, but Bogman on the show saying he wasn't buying into the hype of Bundy at all. And I was there with him. It was definitely interesting for a while to see what he was doing, but now the true colors have shown. So there's no risk. There's almost only risk associated with grabbing Bundy today. So I'm going to be staying away, and I advise you guys to do the same. I don't think it makes sense to add him here. Guys, we're going to give you a bit of a shorter show today, try and get you the show before a game start. So that will wrap it up for us. Go ahead and check out Twitter, and you can find my threads on most added players for the day, and we'll cover that there instead of here today because we're heading into the noon hour, Eastern time, and we're going to have games starting soon. I'd like to give you guys a chance to listen to the show before before the games do start. So thank you guys for tuning in. I really appreciate everybody joining us here. Week 8 or week 9 now? I think we're on week 9 of the show. We've in our 42 episodes or something like that. So thank you guys who have came and found the show and stuck around and left those 5-star reviews on the show. We really appreciate you guys showing your support. Show it on the show page and also show it on Twitter. You guys can find me at JoeOrrico99. That's JoeOrrico99. Hit me up there for any questions, comments, concerns. Also, you get to see my threads, links to the show when they go out. All my different fantasy stuff goes on Twitter. And I'll address this really quickly. I was supposed to have an article come out for sportsethos.com this weekend. I've had a bit of craziness going on in my family life. I have a sick family member I've been trying to support. So it has been a bit busy. I've been able to do the show and some Twitter stuff, but I haven't been able to properly sit down and write that article yet. So it'll be coming out this week. Apologies. Probably on the weekend we're going to be seeing it. And I hope you guys enjoy it. We'll just be looking at a recap of the fantasy baseball week and a look ahead to the week coming. So that will do it for us. Thank you guys for tuning in. And we will see you tomorrow for another edition of Fantasy MLB Today. Cheers.